Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, for the next 30 minutes, Bob Chapman is our guest. Then we've got Sean Stone, accomplished actor and director and producer in his own right, son of Oliver Stone, joining us. He reached out to us. We're excited to have him on with us. Jeff Steinberg will also be popping in with him, along with Alexander Wraith. It is, of course, April 1st, 2011. For the next 30 minutes, Bob Chapman is our guest, and I want to get into what's happening with the economy with Bob. Also, later in this hour with Bob, I want to get into federal agents told to reduce border arrest. Arizona sheriff says, we've confirmed this years ago, but here it is out of Fox News. Also, we have an incredible video I'm going to be playing with Bob for the PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, for InfoWarriors. It's up on InfoWars.com. Return of basketball hoops delayed again. And it's video of arrogant Department of Transportation people coming up into their yard and taking their basketball hoops away from them. This is government zoning and the incredible power trips they're on, where you're being bossed around. And the video and audio just really explains how the society is collapsing. I have another report here. More and more areas want you to get a license to have a garden, from Oklahoma to Oakland, California, from Tulsa, Oklahoma to this latest development. You know, they're saying you can't sell Girl Scout cookies in your front yard, you can't sell lemonade, you can't have a garden and then sell it to your neighbors. It's just absolutely incredible. So the total feudal enslavement grid, you study feudalism, that's what it is. But also the Federal Reserve following suit for the first time in decades. The EU central banks have announced they're going to have interest rate increases, and the Federal Reserve says they're going to follow them a few months after. And we're going to talk about all of that with Bob Chapman. Bob of the International Forecaster, good to have you here with us.
Well, it's very good to be back, and I missed you last week.
Yeah, I wasn't out last week. I had so much work to do. I had to take off Friday while Watson and Mike Adams sat in so that I could just get the piles of paperwork completed around here.
Well, anyway, things are popping out there, and Libby is going crazy. And on the other hand, the situation financially and economically in the United States and England and Europe continues to deteriorate. And, of course, they're using all of these distractions to keep people's minds off that. We just saw the employment report come through, bogus as usual. I haven't broken it down yet, and I'll have that early next week. And we're also getting some startling inflation figures coming out of Europe. And they're talking about, as you mentioned, raising interest rates in Europe. And all I can say is they must be suicidal, because the minute they raise rates and cut back on stimulus of one form or another, the game's over. And so it'll be interesting to see if they follow through with their warning this time that they're going to raise rates. In the United States, several people from the Federal Reserve banks have said they really should stop using QE2. And but the opinion is mixed, and Bernanke has the last word. I don't think they're going to curtail QE2, and I think there's a good chance they will still have QE3, because the recovery isn't there. If you notice, this last week they talked about businesses getting tax breaks, and they're investing money in equipment that will do away with employees. Now, I never heard of anything so dumb in my life, but anyway, that's what they're doing. And how can you have a recovery if you're not adding jobs, real jobs?
Well, it's a jobless recovery.
Exactly. I mean, we got work week 34.3 hours. That's not very good.
Stay there, Bob Chapman. I want to get into Walmart CEO Bill Simon expects inflation. He called it serious inflation coming. The Fed announcing by year's end they're going to probably raise interest rates, not just the EU. Where you see that going? I've also got Limbaugh praising attacks on civilians, saying that's the way to get the job done. We'll get your take on that as well.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
America, you've been warned. For weeks, we've been warning you about a single event we believe will happen in the next 12 months that will shake the very foundations of our nation. We've told you about the video that details this shocking prediction. So far, over 6 million people have watched this free video online. Have you? Again, this big event has nothing to do with war or the stock market, yet it could change everything about your normal way of life, the way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your family. Could this really happen? Well, the man who created this video has been right about many predictions in his career. He was among the first to predict the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner, General Growth Properties. In fact, Barron's called his work a dire prophecy. If you haven't taken time to watch this free video, do it right now. You may never think about America the same way again. You can find the free video at endofamerica3.com. Again, that's www.endofamerica3.com. Watch the free video at endofamerica3.com. That's endofamerica3.com.
Do you want to learn more about preparing for the hard times ahead? Have you ever thought about actually getting off the grid and becoming truly self-reliant? Introducing Off the Grid News, a weekly newsletter for independent Americans who want practical advice on how to survive and even prosper in an increasingly dangerous world. It's the best way to get a black belt in emergency preparedness, survival skills, and off-the-grid living. Packed with hard-hitting information on gardening, food preparation, alternative energy, and home security, there's simply nothing like it. And the best part, this $100 annual subscription is now free of charge. Simply sign up today and you'll also get our hard-hitting report, Food Shock, Why 2011 Could Be the Single Most Important Year in American History to Plant a Family Garden. It's absolutely free for listeners who sign up at offthegridnews.net. That's offthegridnews.net. Get your free Food Shock right now at offthegridnews.net.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We have an abbreviated 30-minute interview right now with Bob Chapman, the international forecaster, with his amazing financial and geopolitical analysis. He normally joins us the third hour, but we've got Oliver Stone's son, an upcoming film, joining us. But he really wants to come on talking about the New World Order. That he basically studied when he was in college. That's what Sean Stone, and I actually have a copy of it here, wrote his thesis on. So that is coming up. In fact, I had his bio here, guys, but I think I've pulled it out or lost it. So just print me that again or try to find it. Obviously, you won't be able to, though, while I'm busy here talking on air. So just print it again. Thank you. But shifting gears back to Bob Chapman. Bob, let's cover the financial news right now. We're being told that unemployment is dropped below 9 points, though even 60 Minutes says it's 22% nationwide, 33 in California. That was 4 months ago. All the other independent groups are saying between 22 and 24 nationwide, prestigious organizations that I know you've listed here on air, major financial institutions, Walmart CEO, is in USA Today, Bill Simon, expecting increased inflation and calling it serious inflation. We have the Federal Reserve announcing they're going to follow the move by the European Union central banks in the next few months to raise interest rates. Fed says they're likely to do it by end of year for the first time in modern history, following the euro instead of the European countries following the Fed's move. What does all this signify?
I think that they're testing the waters here to see whether it will be acceptable. But what they're going to have to accept, the public and Wall Street and the City of London, is a deflationary depression, because they can't function without having those stimulus funds or QE2 type injections of money from out of thin air into the economy. And that's, and this is something that's very important. Two points here. They had the G20 meeting, and Mrs. Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, was supposed to champion an additional $1 trillion to be spent to clean up for the six countries that are in trouble in Europe. Not only did she say, no, we're not going to do that, she wanted to cut back the $1 trillion by $300 billion that had already been arranged for those countries in trouble. The reason why is she got destroyed, and so did the CDU, in the elections in Hamburg, which is the richest state in Germany. And that's what prompted them coming forward. The public is sick and tired in Germany of getting whipped around and paying for everything. And they said, no more. The second thing that's really important, too, is the UN Security Council voted on the flyover block. And three countries abstained: China, Russia, and Germany. Very, very, very important, because that's been a united front together since the Second World War under NATO. That also means that maybe Germany is thinking of leaving NATO. That's a possibility. So there's some real disrupting things going on. And I had to put that in there because they're important.
What about the Orwellian language seems to be intensifying, and I wanted to see if you agree. Just when you think governments can't be more overt in their cartoon-level lies, they call an aerial bombardment for over 2 weeks, kinetic military action. They're preparing Marines from the U.S. and England to invade, saying there'll be a stabilization humanitarian force, not military. British SAS publicly started the thing 6 weeks ago using admitted al-Qaeda forces. That's now public. So the West started this war against Gaddafi, and now they're not only lying and saying this isn't a war, they're now saying the economy has been better for almost 2 years, when every real indicator shows that it's in free fall, and they put out these fake unemployment numbers of 8.8, when every other indicator, including the housing market, shows that it's in free fall.
You're right. And the summation is, you're right. It's all bogus. It's all lies. It's all propaganda. It's all conditioning. But over in Libya, the special forces have been in there for 3 months. The CIA has been in there for years. Who are the guys that are rebels? They're al-Qaeda. That's who they are. And we're arming them. The man that's running it has been living in Virginia for the last 20 years.
And then this is all mainstream news, by the way. And you're right. CIA for years, it's more like 3 months. The British Special Forces were in the East, but attacking now for close to 6 weeks. But Bob Chapman expanding on all of this. What is the method to the madness? Why are the globalists doing this now?
Well, they want chaos throughout the entire Middle East, because when they go after Iran with Israel, they do not want anybody arguing with them. Nobody giving moral or succor to Iran. They want to be able to go in there, bang them, and get it over with.
As we know, Mubarak, months ago it came out, before they even overthrew him, that he said no to Iran, Egypt would not get behind it, politically supporting it, and now we learn they were telling him they were getting ready to overthrow Gaddafi, which is to his west, bordering him, and he said no to that, and then when he refused to step down, he had that stroke.
Well, Frank Wisner went in there a month before all of these episodes of recent vintage, and told him, this is the way it is, the way you just explained it. And he probably told him, if you don't do what we tell you to do, we'll destroy you. And that's exactly what they're doing. The $70 billion that he stole, they're going to steal it from him, because they're freezing everything he's got. As far as Gaddafi's concerned, what do they want? They want four water aquifers, sweet oil. They want a central bank that's not independent. these characters in Europe and the United States. The New World Order, if you may.
What's the first thing? What's the
130?
Sorry, go ahead. No. But what's the first thing they've already set up? A central bank with the Al Qaeda rebels,
right,
and an oil system to fund them. And they're saying they're going to put the Al Qaeda people basically in charge and give them 30-something billion bucks.
That's right. They're going to give them part of the action because they're nothing more than mercenaries. But they want that 143.8. Tons of gold so they can sell it into the market and keep the price of gold down. So they have a number of objectives here, including killing Gaddafi.
That's
now,
right.
Gaddafi
I was
has gold, and he's trying to get advanced weapons from Russia, and I think Russia's going to give them to him.
That's right. Were you shocked 2 weeks ago when the Financial Times of London confirmed that he was the eighth largest owner of gold in the world?
No. I knew that he was heavy, but I didn't know how heavy. I mean, this guy is not dumb. He's very, very smart. And without this lack of air cover, he would have taken the rebels over already. I think what's going to happen, we're going to have a protracted war on land, so to speak. And I don't think Gaddafi's going to get taken down unless they send in a large, large force. And I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think they get the people to spare. And incidentally, that section that the rebels are in right now produces per capita more Al-Qaeda, Taliban, terrorist types than any place throughout the world of Islam.
Now, that's according
more than
to
Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, that's according to the West Point report from three
that's
years
right.
ago. Now, mm-hmm. now, continuing and shifting gears, but it's still in the same vein. I want to play you a short clip of Rush Limbaugh talking about the Afghanistan massacres and the lining up teenagers and kids and killing them and then laughing and giggling about it. Limbaugh says this is what the good guys do. He says our military basically should go back to World War II where they do target civilians. And my point to Limbaugh is until World War II, in the age of chivalry, for hundreds of years, the West never targeted civilians. You know, the mafia says don't kill women and children. And so Limbaugh's claiming that our military is inept because they're not killing enough civilians. Here's this clip.
The documents cover some known aspects of the troubled 9-year conflict. U.S. Special Operations Forces have targeted militants without trial. Afghans have been killed by accident. Why? That is unheard of. That is unheard of in any war, anywhere in the history of the world, that civilians have been killed by accident. That's unheard of. Do you realize what this says about us? How guilty, how rotten to the core can this country be? Innocent Afghan citizens killed by accident. In the old days, it used to be on purpose, i.e. Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Dresden. In the old days, the definition of winning a war was killing people and breaking things. In the old days, there was no such thing as a surgical strike. In the old days, you purposely killed innocent civilians. That's what war was all about. That's how you won it. But now, all of a sudden, these big WikiLeaks documents say that Afghans have been killed by accident. Whoa, the incompetence of the U.S. military.
All right. Bob Chapman, you're a military veteran, intelligence veteran as well. Historically, I mean, it's known as barbarous criminals target civilians. And even if some of this happened with carpet bombing in World War II, it doesn't mean this is moral or good, does it?
No, it does not. And Dresden was done by England, and that was on order from Winston Churchill, who probably seldom drew a silver breath. And the actions in Nagasaki and Hiroshima were to teach the world a lesson by the Illuminists in the United States, don't cross us or we'll obliterate you. Because the Japanese had tried for a year to surrender, and they wouldn't let them.
Let me expand on that, because it's not hidden history. It's mainline history that Hitler, it was unprecedented for him to bomb military facilities in Poland. He then only bombed, in the first part of the Blitz, military sites in England and factories. And then the British, on record, launched a giant airstrike on civilian areas of Berlin. And it was later declassified to get Hitler to attack civilian centers. So that because the psych warfare chiefs in England had found that would actually make the Brits be more pro-war, and so they tricked Hitler into targeting civilian sites so that they could then target civilian sites, and that they actually did it first. That's on record, and that's something that really isn't taught, you know, in low-level history, and that's not something I don't think Limbaugh even understands.
Well, one of the problems that I continually run into among some people like Limbaugh, who talk about things that they really don't understand, and it's a lack of knowledge of history, and it goes back to ancient history. If you don't understand what people did before, you're not going to know what they're going to do next, because people follow a general pattern, and if you don't know what they've done, you can't act on it, you can't talk about it.
Well, you're absolutely right, but I mean, studying history, in almost every culture, you didn't target women and children. Even if you killed the men, you kept the women and children basically as slaves or to expand your tribe. And to romanticize carpet bombing Dresden that killed hundreds of thousands of people in one night, to romanticize dropping A-bombs on a defeated foe, to romanticize it, but at the same time say, if you believe the official 9/11 story, that Al-Qaeda was cowardly and barbarous to target civilians, well, under Limbaugh's rule, he must think that what Al-Qaeda did was okay.
And I would say that is a good summation. And that's why your program is far better than his.
Well, I mean, I wish he understood this. But, I mean, look, he was never in the military. He hadn't even studied military history, clearly. He got a deferment because of a boil on his rear end. And then he's pro-war. I mean, guys that love war, and think it's big and powerful, and the guy you meet at the gas station going, I'm glad we're blowing up Gaddafi, or kill them Arabs in Iran. They're not even Iranian idiots. You know, these guys, I guarantee you're the type, if you said, let's go out in the parking lot with baseball bats and see who beats the other one to death, they'd start urinating down their leg, Bob.
Well, you know, it was interesting. He had a boil. When I went in and they were processing me, they found I had one of my fingers was cut off. And the doctor looked at me and smiled. He said, are you left-handed or right-handed? And I said, I'm right-handed. He said, you're hired. That was the trigger finger.
How'd you cut your finger off?
No, in a machine when I was younger, working in a factory.
Yeah, no, I cut mine off almost completely, but some skin. But the miracles of modern science. The weird thing is, it didn't even hurt that bad. Did it hurt with you?
Well, I took off the first joint, and it went on my left hand first, the first finger after the thumb, and I grabbed it and I cut off the blood supply, and it was like numb, and it really didn't hurt that much.
No, that's what happened to me. Yeah, it was bizarre. I mean, it hurt a little, but it was mainly just bizarre, the finger flopping around, hanging on by some meat. But I thought the bone was pretty. It was like purple and shiny. But
mine was white and shiny.
Yeah, it was really weird.
Well, we got something in common.
Yeah. Well, hey, I got mine, though. I'm sorry you lost yours, buddy. I can do parlor tricks, though.
I still pull the trigger with the other hand.
But it's like a parlor trick because it's numb. So, I could sit there and, like, take a lighter to it. I haven't done that, but I guess I couldn't impress people. Look, I'm G. Gordon Liddy. It doesn't hurt because I don't feel it. All right, I've digressed, Bob. We only got about 8 minutes left. I skipped the break so we'd have more time with you. TheInternationalForecaster.com. If folks want to call and get a free introductory copy of it, 800-686-2237, 800-686-237. Invaluable information. Getting into other issues, dealing with the Fukushima situation, what's your view now on learning that reactor number 2 has completely melted down?
Well, I think probably they ought to cement them all in. That's the best possible thing they could do, I would think. They've got such problems with them. They're old. The design didn't work in the final analysis. They've got all kinds of radiation. Goodness knows how many people are going to die from it. And it's probably all over the world by now. And so what should they do? Cement them in and find another way to get power to the area.
Well, the ongoing cover-up, the FDA said, yeah, we found radiation 2 days ago in milk and some other things, but That's the worst of it. But that was the radiation from 3 weeks ago that got here first. Now the really bad stuff, 100,000 times safe levels, is coming out. I mean, just common sense shows more intense radiation is on its way.
Absolutely. No question. And it can't be avoided. And it's very difficult for the average person to protect themselves because nobody told them it's on the way.
Bob, dealing with other issues in the economy, we see Portugal now, as you predicted 3 years ago, starting to go under. Ireland, Greece, Iceland, now they're talking about the takedown being eight times bigger if Spain goes under than the banker payout that they call a bailout to the private bankers in Spain. If the Germans are getting ready to jump ship over having to pay off Ireland and a few other smaller countries, what's going to happen when they've got to bail out everybody else?
Well, if you remember on this program months ago, I talked about the bill will be $3 to $5 trillion, and nobody was listening. And so they came up with a trillion among those countries in Europe, and Mrs. Merkel was supposed to ask for another trillion. She didn't. She asked for a cut because of what went on in Hamburg in the election. And Germany is sick and tired. They want out of the euro. They want out of supporting everybody. They want out. I think they want out of the European Union as well. And, you know, I lived there for a long time. I understand where they're coming from. And they're justified in feeling that way because these countries continually get themselves into trouble by spending more money than they have revenue coming in. And as I said, 14 years ago, before the first treaty that they had, that one interest rate cannot service all because each economy was at a different stage of development. And you can't say that Spain, Ireland, Portugal, Greece should have an interest rate of 3% just because Germany has it. Wrong.
Because if they've been bailed out by Germany, then Germany's interest rate goes up. They're being penalized for actually bailing them out.
That's right. And you know, if the goal for the $3 trillion, the solvent countries, France, Holland, Austria, and Germany, they'll all go under. And I think Ireland's got the right idea. Let the bondholders eat it. You know who owns the bonds? The Alpha Group and the Rothschilds. The Alpha Group is the black nobility in Europe for all intents and purposes. And that's why they're trying to push the Irish into honoring the bonds. And the Irish are saying, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to pay the bondholders off. And they're having conniptions over there.
And that's why they want to start new wars as political distractions. But I don't see it working this time. More and more people are identifying the banking cartel as the author of this crisis, and the globalists think they're going to get more power out of this as the days and weeks go by. More and more of the leverage begins to basically turn against them.
That's right, especially in Bahrain, in Saudi Arabia, Yemen. Those countries are in trouble. And if one of them goes, they'll all go. And most of them are Shiites, which Iranians are Shiites as well, with the exception of Saudi. And so I see ongoing problems that they're going to have there. How bad they'll get, I don't know, but they could get out of hand, and that would be unintended consequences.
But on the clock, we've definitely gotten a few minutes closer to economic midnight, economic Armageddon.
Oh, yes. We're going down the road. They're doing everything to put roadblocks up, to extend everything. That's why they'll have QE3. If they don't, they may as well pull a plug on the whole thing. They don't have the money to cover the debt.
Well, Bob, unfortunately,
it's a whole bunch of countries.
Unfortunately, we're out of time, and I meant to get to George Soros and his Bretton Woods 2 coming up. But by the time you join us next week, that would have taken place. We can break down this move to a new global currency, theinternationalforecaster.com. Bob, we'll talk to you again very soon. Thank you for joining us. See you next Friday.
Can't wait. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. We got Sean Stone coming up. I'm Alex Jones.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for survivalseedbank.com.
Hundreds of nations have fallen to tyranny in the last century alone. This is our last chance to not relive history.
As we're finishing off this agenda, they'll be pulling the rug from underneath Americans at home.
They have tremendous influence on our president and Congress, and they really are calling the shots.
I think it's incumbent upon all of us as American citizens to pay attention.
Fall of the Republic identifies the enemies of our nation, the criminal offshore cartel, hell-bent on destroying sovereignty and on its ashes constructing world government.
Tim Geithner, Bernanke, they're arsonists. They're asking for more matches. And the Congress is saying, who do we make the check out to?
Today seems like nobody does care. And right now in Washington, D.C., we have seen a fall of the Republic.
Get your copy of Fall of the Republic on DVD at InfoWars.com or watch it online right now in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
There's mounting evidence suggesting that there are people, governments, corporations, and whole professions intent on short-circuiting humanity's well-being. GMO, food legislation protecting big agriculture, the attempted elimination of vitamins and alternative medicines, it seems their hand has been tipped. They want to dictate your health, wealth, and your longevity. Whatever the outcome, we have a solution. Wild edible food. Why worry about food when all has been provided? We imagine that we were ejected from the garden and never invited back, but the garden's still here. There is an endless wild abundance which grows all over our green earth, just waiting for you to wake up and see it. Let author Linda Runyon teach you how to see, know, get, prepare, store, and eat wild edible food. Save money, add nutrition, and ignore the noise when you go shopping in nature's supermarket. Go to ofthefield.com and get started today. Or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and begin to see a different world.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Well, in the second half of this live April 1st, 2011 transmission, we've got Sean Stone joining us, a guy who's got more film roles and cameos than Alfred Hitchcock and is also a producer and director in his own right. He's got a new film coming out very, very soon about his personal experiences investigating. Well, we're going to get into it in a moment. But then in the second half of the interview with him, or the last two-thirds, we've got two of his associates joining us, Alexander Wraith, who's involved in the new film, but also we're going to have Jess Steinberg, who really needs no introduction. He's somebody who's confronted the Bush people and others on their banking scams, on the death panels. He, of course, is with LaRouche Pack, one of their chief strategists and advisors. I wanted to get Jeff Steinberg on for years. Just never got around to it. By the way, I'm told Lyndon LaRouche is going to be joining us for his maiden visit. They contacted us a few weeks ago, coming up sometime next week via video Skype. But now joining us is Sean Stone, obviously the son of one of the most accomplished living directors or all-time directors, Oliver Stone, who I'm also a big admirer of for the screenplays he's written. But it's great to have you here with us, Sean. I'm glad that we got hooked up.
Yeah, thank you, Alex. Thank you for having me. And I'm also an admirer of yours, the Bohemian Grove thing. when you guys broke in, what was it, 2004?
It was back in those days, yes.
Back in those days. That was, that's an heroic thing, honestly. What you did was, you know, took a lot of guts and courage, and you really exposed something that needs exposure. And, I think that this is also, you know, this is what I want to do with my life, is to, you know, to go into realms of power and try to understand, you know, the nature of this world that we live in. Obviously, if the power structure worships pagan gods, or if they have, you know, belief structures which are mystical or mysterious, I think we should try to understand it. And you did a great job in going there and just recording that event, that cremation of care ceremony.
Well, I appreciate that. And, I mean, obviously that was a mystery I wanted to investigate. I didn't really believe it, what I'd been told, even by some insiders, until I was actually there and witnessed it. And the old cliche rings true, that truth is stranger than fiction. Now, before we get into your new film, I just want to mention in the next hour, we're going to get into your Princeton thesis that I've actually read about previously, dealing with the Rhodes Trust, Cecil Rhodes of Rhodesia, and their plan for an Anglo-American world empire. Give us a little prelude of what's going to come up in the next hour.
Yeah, sure. I mean, in terms of the thesis, I really stumbled upon that. I had various contacts like Jeff Steinberg and Dennis Speed, people who work with LaRouche. But, I mainly liked them because I thought they were doing some real homework and some real research. And, you know, it's not to say that you have to agree with everything that LaRouche says, because I think he's a very brilliant man. But it's not to say that you have to become sort of an adherent of his political beliefs to necessarily look at the work they're doing. And so what happened was they had always mentioned this guy William Yandel Elliott, who was Henry Kissinger's mentor over at Harvard, professor there for 40 years, political emeritus of the politics department, government department. And Elliot was an interesting figure, so I thought, well, let's investigate this guy. And in looking at him and his relationships to these sort of British ambassadors and to the Wall Street, it was like the hub, really, of, I would say, the network is really intelligentsia, the academies, the Ivy League universities, meeting with Wall Street, and then government. Those three power centers. And that's really how influence is made in the world, if you think about it. Because you have to have the elites and the academia on your side, teaching the doctrines, teaching the free market economic theories, or socialist doctrines, whatever you need. You need to go through the university system first, and then you come into government. And then government is so tightly merged and wound with Wall Street and money. Obviously, it's almost fascist to that extent. That is really the core. So Elliot was an interesting figure, and that got me into this bigger question of the New World Order and what the Anglo-Americans were trying to accomplish from the late 19th century forward in preserving the British Empire by using America as the military arsenal, in a sense, for it.
Well, you're absolutely right. That's how they steer civilization. We have the declassified Carnegie endowments, Rockefeller endowments. They admit all of this, but LaRouche, I totally concur with your analysis. I have never seen someone whose take on things is more accurate, because I've gone out and done my own separate research. 16, 17 years ago, I didn't buy what LaRouche was saying, wasn't even very familiar with him, did my own original, historical research, found exactly what he was saying in the early 60s is accurate, and that was before Carol Quigley at Georgetown, Bill Clinton's mentor, wrote a book that was pro-Anglo-American establishment, admitting that it was a shadow government/corporate fascist system steering us towards a tightly controlled society. So LaRouche's research is groundbreaking and original, and I concur with it about 99%. I don't agree with some of their more socialistic type solutions. But that said, we'll get more into that coming up in the next hour. This is going to be an intriguing interview because it's covering a wide spectrum of ideas. Tell us about your new film that's coming out that deals with your own personal experiences and what led you in these investigations to have these experiences, Sean Stone.
In fact, as you said about the Grove, Bohemian Grove, you'd heard stories and you wanted to confirm it for yourself. And it was very similar in my case. What happened was I was at dinner in late 2009, my father was shooting Wall Street 2, and so I was visiting New York for the week and did a little cameo one day role. And I was having dinner with him that night, and a young man named Alexander Wraith, who I'd never met before. And the guy was full of energy. He's a young actor and, you know, writing scripts, and, you know, he wants to make movies, and he's telling me these stories about, you know, breaking into the mental hospitals, you know, various abandoned mental hospitals, and obviously New York and Jersey, they're full of them. So there was one in particular that, you know, he said, this place is amazing. It's called Greystone. And it was the biggest foundation until they built the Pentagon. It was built back in the 1870s or 80s, in that sort of the height of the mental health craze, when they were building up all these asylums and trying to lock, you know, people away who were mentally unsound.
So a labyrinthine sprawling complex.
Exactly. Labyrinthine is exactly the way it was put to me. And very, you know, he's just, it was like The Shining. He described it. It's The Shining. You go in there and it changes every time. It warps. There's something to it that, you know, it's sort of a mystery and wrapped in a riddle inside of an enigma. So I said, all right, well, it sounds cool. I always wanted to go on a ghost hunt. Let's go, you know, let's go on a ghost hunt. And next day I knew, the next night, we were, myself, a young girl who was a former Marine, and Alex were driving to the property. And then it was almost like as we went along, he would say, oh, yeah, by the way, you know, this is illegal. I'm like, what do you mean it's illegal? Oh, fuck, I just realized, oh, yeah, of course, we're trespassing, right? So we're breaking in, trespassing. Oh, by the way, there's Satanists that worship here once in a while. So if you see any Satanists, you know, don't be alarmed. What do you mean there's any Satanists? Okay, great. So Satanists come and worship here. And then, oh, yeah, in case, you know, there's a working hospital nearby, so you might see somebody, like a patient, you know, from the other hospital wandering around. Oh, my. You know, every minute was like a different, you know, something new was added, a new element was added to the story.
Well, from my research of that facility, to interrupt, as you're driving in, most of these big institutions, they also did early mind control studies at.
Exactly. And that was an interesting issue, was the MK Ultra program.
Okay, but let's get to that. I interrupted. I apologize, Sean. Continue. So you're driving in. He's kind of giving you the tour.
So he's giving, you know, he's essentially, exactly, every minute, it's like, you know, Wile E. Coyote's adventures, right? Like every minute there's a new threat, there's a new element. And so we basically park, we find an open door, and there's a stick on the outside of the door, which was curious, obviously, because it's like an indicator. If there's a stick on the outside of a door and you open it, the stick's going to fall off, right? So it's almost as though someone's patrolling or keeping track. And by the way, it was October 13th of 2009. So October 13th, I was thinking, Jesus, if they're saying this here, this could really be a bad night. You know, 13, number 13 in October, building up to Halloween. It's the inverse of October 31. The reverse of 31 is 13. So October 31 is Halloween. October 13 could be a very, like, ritualistically you inverse it, and there could be something going on tonight. So I already had, I was pretty jittery about the Satanist issue. And we go and we start to explore the corridors, and what's fascinating about the place is that it's lit. You know, the place is lit up, and it doesn't feel abandoned. It feels like the Twilight Zone. You walk in, there's furniture, and, you know, it's literally as though they left 5 minutes ago, you know, and just left it as it is.
When was it abandoned?
It was over the course of 20 years, I believe, you know, from the 70s forward. I think it was finally abandoned about 3 years ago, two or three years ago.
Yeah, because I did a little side research before the interview. Exactly. They shut down pieces of it as it became dilapidated and as mental health funding got cut in the 70s.
Right, exactly. And, you know, obviously, we're not, you know, the intention, by the way, is, you know, not to sort of depreciate, you know, anyone who has mental illness or to make them feel sound crazy. In fact, I think a lot of times people with mental illness are seeing things that are real. I don't doubt that there is another world, but that's what I want to get to, is that we're searching through this place, just step by step, going deeper and deeper into the darkness. And literally we go up to the top levels, which are really dilapidated, crumbling, the roof is falling through, pitch black up there. And it's as though the place started to come alive, because all of a sudden, you know, there's a moment where Alex goes, oh no. And he turns off his flashlight, starts running. Like he really jumped and starts running. And so I'm with the girl, I'm like, we just start running, sprinting after him in the pitch black. I don't know how we made it, like, through, you know, through weaving through this darkness, down back to the first floor. And we get there and Alex is literally heaving, and he looks like he's, you know, he's about to throw up, and he keeps saying, did you see it? Did you see her? Did you, you know, oh my God, did you see that? And I'm like, what are you talking about? I didn't see anything. it was his face. It was this woman's face, like, and her tongue sticking out. And I'm like, that sounds like a very particular kind of demon. It's like a Gorgon mask, you know, the old Gorgon faces of Medusa, and also in the East, the demons have these, their tongues out. I'm sticking out. All right, let's get out of here, man. Like, we saw your ghost, you know, we need to walk away. And Alex says, no, he pulls away. That's fine, I'm fine, you know, just, he rattled me. I want to show you guys the kitchen. He starts walking. I'm like, and I'm starting to feel the energy now. Like, the energy's heating up in the place in a way that you just sense it. Something is coming to life. And I'm like, why do you want to see the kitchen? I don't understand. Well, that's where they eat, he tells me. That's where they eat. I'm like, oh boy, is he okay? And he just keeps walking ahead of us. I don't know if this guy's possessed, if he's crazy, if he's leading us on to something, a joke. And so he keeps going deeper, and he takes us up and deeper inside. All of a sudden, we're in a corridor, and there's this eye, an occult eye, you know, basically an eye that's painted on like an arts and crafts style canvas with 69 written in the corners. And I'm like, oh my God, this is occult. You know, there probably are Satanists here too. I mean, where is this guy leading us? And then he leads us through a wall. And there's a death sign. It says death written on a chalkboard right in front of this wall. It's just like, if there's ever a time to run back, I said, this is it. We're not going to go here. It says death. This is, you know, everything is giving me the feeling that we're really doomed. And he keeps pulling us through. And the girl didn't want to go either. So I thought, now we're back into the light in this lit corridor. And we're walking. And that's when we start to, like, there's footprints on the ground, like pretty fresh. It's a chalky ground. How do you say it? It's a construction saw, like a sawdust on the ground. So there's fresh footprints walking around. And there's these Woody Guthrie guitars all over the place that say, you know, this machine kills fascists. Because Woody Guthrie was at the hospital at one time. And it really got spooky at that point. And then we heard a footstep above us. Like someone, it felt like someone walking above us. And then a footstep very clearly behind, out of here now, because he can't, you know, we're really in trouble. There's someone here. And that's when he realized, you know, oh no, we really are in trouble. So we started running out, and we get to, we found a door that was open, but there was a chair positioned right in front of the door. So it was as though if we had trampled on the chair, we would have created a loud noise. So he jumps over the chair, pushes through, and we get outside and we get back to the car. And we pull away and we think, okay, it's over and that's a great experience and then we're going to start writing a script about it. But what's really strange is the Satanist thing. I think there were Satanists there that night.
Because yeah, let me stop you. That's exactly what I was about to say, and I hadn't gone through the story with you yet, is that it could have been them dressed up inside of there and he saw somebody in the dark and then the footsteps you heard were people.
It's a very interesting thing, because what happens is the following night I go back to Los Angeles and Alex has a man standing outside of his window.
That's Alex Rafe.
Yeah, he has a man outside of his house in a hood, like basically like a hood. It looks, and we can.
Well, this almost sounds like gang stalking or something. Have you heard of that?
It is. It actually is, because he proceeded to have these guys out of his window.
Well, see, no, but let me stop you. Nobody would believe this, but Ventura doesn't want to get into it. Tyrell, who I think you know, doesn't want to get into it. But the harassment and stuff, the guys in suits breaking in, facilities getting broken into, the threats, the CIA trying to mess with them. And basically, that's part of CIA mind control, is they'll put somebody on PCP, bring them to, dressed up in devil outfits to freak them out. I mean, that's what this kind of sounds like. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, because it was definitely Satanists do consort there, and I mean Alex has told me experiences where he's been to a couple of these mental hospitals, and they're trying to conjure demons. That's very clear, and so
they believe, because of the negativity, and I've seen mainline news reports on this, that Satanists are always breaking into them because they believe the negativity will help them get this power.
Yeah, it has to do with, there's a mixture of things. It might be part of the energy that's been created in this location. It's been trapped there, obviously, as you said. Yeah, it's a very negative location because of the history of it, the amount of pain, suffering. Also, don't forget that if these patients did bring any demons, so let's say that these patients were haunted by shadows, things from the sort of fourth dimension and beyond, right? If they had these shadows on them and talking to them as they whisper in your ear, I mean, this is known as the jinn, and the Arabs are very clear. And
every culture, yeah.
Yeah, and the jinn is very real to the Arab. You talk to almost any person from Arabia to Iran to Lebanon, and you know, you say jinn, they freak out. It's not a joke. To us demons, we laugh, but it's taken very seriously. So if these people did have these sort of jinn shadow things, as paranormal activity show the shadow pretty clearly, that's what a shadow would be. It's you don't really see much of a substance. It's just a vapor. Then these shadows are talking to them, and then these people come and they're locked inside of a mental hospital. Now, let's say they die there or they leave there, and the shadow stays on. The shadows are now like almost like consort. Like
so that's the theory: is it becomes like a ghost yard of ghosts, almost like, you know, pirate ships kind of gathering at a secret island. It becomes like a graveyard for ghosts.
Indeed, exactly. A ground, like you've created a portal in a sense, you know, it's like Ghostbusters time. But you've created,
and then the researchers think that attracts more. You know, I never get into things like this on air, even though everybody's got stories. I mean, I've had a few experiences in my life. My mother has, especially at our home place out in East Texas. Everybody talks about it. And it's certain places, especially prisons, things like that. We'll be right back with Sean Stone.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that it could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for survivalseedbank.com.
Fear of falling is the number one reason seniors leave the home they love. And millions of aging Americans can no longer enjoy the pleasure of a simple bath from fear of falling. Don't leave your home. There is a solution. The revolutionary Designed for Seniors Walk-In Tub. Rediscover the soothing, luxurious pleasure of a comfortable and therapeutic bath by calling 877-513-3797. The Designed for Seniors Walk-In Tub has everything. A low step and walk-in door for easy access. Built-in heating, easy-to-reach controls with both water and air jet therapy to soothe away aches and pains. All tubs are proudly made in the USA and come with a limited lifetime warranty. Enjoy a relaxing, safe, and comfortable bath again. Call 877-513-3797 and ask for the Designed for Seniors Walk-In Tub. That's 877-513-3797. The Designed for Seniors Walk-In Tub for boomers and beyond.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding. It made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Mm-hmm. We're going to continue with Sean Stone, writer-director in his own right, throughout the entirety of the next hour. We're going to get into the Federal Reserve, the monetary system, got some of the folks from LaRouche Pact coming on. But he's got this upcoming movie about his experience as Greystone coming out. And I never get into this stuff because if I can't prove something 100%, I don't cover it. But pretty much everybody's had experiences, every culture, something's going on. And during the break, Rob Dew, one of our great video editors and camera guys, ran up to me and told this experience just real fast. And we're going back to Sean Stone to get his take on this. Tell folks the story you just told me.
Sure. Yeah. My band, we were having a band practice one night, and it was the middle of a song. We were jamming along, and we were doing a great version of it. And nobody was singing. And then all of a sudden, we hear this scream come through the PA. And, I mean, it sounded unearthly. And it sounded like pain, like horrible pain. And I look up because I thought maybe one of the singers had done something. I look up at him because we have two singers in the band, and he's just playing his guitar, and he starts looking around. And then I look over at the other singer, and she's not doing anything. She's looking at me like they thought I did it. And then all of a sudden, we felt this presence. I felt this presence, and the singer confirmed it. She felt it, too. I felt this thing go through me, and I got huge goosebumps. Like, I've never had like that before.
Now, tell the rest where you were practicing.
Okay, this is what's interesting. It was on First Street in South Austin, and it used to be a children's home where they would take, it looks like a nursing home type setup, long hallways with little rooms, but it's where they kept kids who were, you know, mentally disturbed and stuff like that. So, I mean, it totally ties in with what's going on.
And is that a place where bands practice or something?
Yeah, they've turned it into band rehearsals.
Because I've heard of that place.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting. There's a lot of, you know, mainly metal bands, but, you know, we're sort of like the nice hippie band.
Well, there you go. And I'm not going to get into any of my experiences. I'm just going to leave that alone. But Sean Stone, what's your take on that?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we don't quite understand is how this white noise thing works insofar as I consider the universe in terms of energy, right? I mean, if all of existence is really just an energy phenomena, and matter itself, as we know, is a very slowed down frequency of energy. But if these things are, let's say, of a higher vibration and higher density, they're beyond our perceivable eye. Maybe they move simply too fast. I mean, a bullet moves too fast for the eye to see. So they could be moving too fast for us, however you want to put it. And they're able to ride certain waves the same way, you know, you could ride various bands for radio stations or whatnot. I mean, I've had demons call me and various caliber of voice actually talking to me. I mean, sometimes it sounds like a devil, very, you know, just kind of laughing and toying with you. But once it was actually a really interesting night where the thing was very clear and very, very human, and it was just talking to me and knew exactly what I was doing. I was in my apartment.
But how do you know? Here's the deal. How do you know it's not a government psyop because you're a successful actor? Your dad's one of the most famous directors out there. I mean, there's cases of government doing this. How do you know some of the people that invited you to that former insane asylum? How do you know they didn't have people there to set you up?
Well, no one invited me into the insane asylum. That was a break-in. I mean, that was really illegal. And Alex and I did it, you know, secretly. No one would have really known.
How do you know Alex didn't set it up? I'm going to ask him that when he joins us.
Well, you can ask him. It's a pretty complicated thing to do because the place is so big, too. You know, at the end of the day, it would be great. It's tough. I mean, unless you're following someone, you have to be really a trickster, and I think you have to be a genius, honestly, to actually set this stuff up, because I've been through experiences with him where I've seen a girl get possessed, a couple girls, actually two or three get possessed.
And that's because you've been working on this movie, researching this stuff.
Yeah.
Has it increased the amount of activity you're seeing since you've been focused on it?
Yeah, I think it increases it. We have to remember one thing, like we deal with Bohemian Grove, for example. I mean, there's a reason these guys are doing this pagan style of worship. They are trying to conjure something.
Oh, by the way, we've got to go to break, but you're right. People could say this is just a play, but I was there with those 1,000 men. They were getting off in it. They were on in religious rapture. It was like going to a holy roller church where they're getting into it. They were in rapture. Sean Stone, stay there. We'll be right back in 60 seconds.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.